Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. Part of the process of creating effective, life-transforming sermons is for pastors to oversee the creation of carefully coordinated worship services. In such a service, every element fits together to relate to and enhance the sermon for that service. So in today's podcast, we're continuing to talk about the public reading of Scripture. Our key sentence for this series, Scripture can come alive for people as time and effort are put into the way it is read publicly. More than 30 years ago, David and Karen Maines recorded a series of very relevant Chapel of the Air radio broadcasts. We're using those broadcasts as a resource for our SermonCoach.com podcast. In the last podcast, David and Karen talked about people who feel called by God to enhance the public reading of Scripture in their churches. Today, we want to continue to explore that theme. We will give you more examples of how to respond to God's call in this regard.
Those examples, I'm realizing, Dean, as I listen to my own words and kind of critique them, that was a long time ago, but the examples are what really pop, because all of a sudden, even though it's just audio, you can visually picture what's being talked about. So if anything, and if I were to do this series over again, I think I would include more illustrations or examples of what we're saying.
Very good. Let's listen, shall we?
We're going to begin as we talk about a call to the public reading of Scriptures, defining the difference between tree shakers and jelly makers.
Now that is an intriguing introduction. Let's find out just who David is talking about.
We already have more than enough tree shakers. What we need around here are some good jelly makers.
The man preaching was one of our country's key black leaders, and I heard this about 12 years ago while I was still pastoring in the inner city of Chicago. David Maines, welcoming you, good friend, to another session in the Chapel of the Air. Do you remember who that was, Karen?
I sure do. That was Jesse Jackson. This was during the years when we had an inner city church and we were very involved in the whole movement of reconciliation within the church between black and white. And so part of that was to learn about the dilemma of the blacks in our culture, and we attended many of the Operation Push meetings down on the south side of the city of Chicago. And it was at one of these meetings that we heard Jesse Jackson preach that sermon on jelly makers and tree shakers.
Well, you start with the tree shakers.
Oh, pardon
me. He said there are more than enough in the movement who know how to shake the trees, and they see the fruit there, and they want to get it down, and a lot of it comes, and then they look, and there's still a little more, and so they shake the tree some more, and almost all of it's down, and then they shake, and finally the last of the fruit is down. But all they know how to do is shake the trees, and so they just keep shaking the tree and shaking, and nothing comes down anymore. And what they need is a good jelly maker to come along who can pick up all that fruit and make something beautiful out of it. Now, maybe people are wondering what that has to do with this series we're on regarding the public reading of Scripture in our church services.
Well, I think where we are headed is to say we need some jelly makers now. And by that we are saying we have spent almost 3 weeks now talking about the great need there is for improving the quality of the public reading of Scripture in our worship services. And now we could just talk about that, keep shaking that tree for an endless amount of time, I suppose. But now what we need are people who will pick up the fruit that we have shaken out of the tree and make something out of it that will have meaning in the lives of the church.
And part of jelly making in our situation is issuing a specific call to people who will change the situation in their individual church. We've been working out of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, where Paul says to Timothy, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." And we know many people who have been called to preach. We know lots of people who are called to teach, but almost no one who is called to the public reading of Scripture. And we're issuing that call. Now, Karen, is that a call from the Chapel of the Air, or is that a call from God?
Well, I think we are making the call clear, but I sure hope it's not just a call from the Chapel of the Air. I think that there is a message from the Lord here to many, many hearts and many, many churches across this country. You know, we evangelicals say that we believe in the living Word of God, and yet the very way we represent it is to almost deny that statement. If you would sit in our churches, you say, they really don't believe that. Those are just words. So I hope that this really is a call that is being stimulated by God Himself in the hearts of many people who are listening to us today.
The church stands in need of Christians who will consider a call to the ministry of the public reading of Scripture. That's what we're saying. Does that mean we expect to have a lot of paid people who are public Scripture readers?
You know, David, there are many, many creative types. We call them creative types in quotes, who somehow can't plug in to the traditional church. They're not really very good Sunday school superintendents, et cetera, or ushers, but they have creative gifts. And I think this is one of those wonderful areas where that kind of person can plug in. He can bring his gift or her gift as a lay person on a volunteer level and make an incredible difference in the worship service and the whole attitude of the congregation toward the Word of God. So I see this as a volunteer level and a good volunteer level.
And maybe someday, if the Lord wills, you know, there would be people who would actually be paid to do it. That wouldn't be bad. There's a verse in 2 Timothy that I like that I'd like to refer to. Paul says to Timothy, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Now, one of the new translations renders that a master handler of the word. Now, I'm taking it slightly out of context, but I'd like to see a lot of people the Lord would raise up who are master handlers of the Word as far as this public reading of the Scriptures is concerned. Now, what is their role? To kind of shake the pastor and shake the board members and shake the music director out of the tree?
More, we don't need any more tree shakers. I think that would be detrimental. I think that putting a Sunday morning worship service together week after week requires people who are burden bearers. And I think that's the attitude that we need to encourage in those who feel this secret yearning within them to do something about this dilemma, is for those people to go to the staff or to the pastor or to the leaders of the congregation and say, how can I bear your burden? Can I work alongside you? I want you to know that I'm a person who wants to share in the ministry of the church, and I think I can do it in this way.
Working together is an area we really haven't talked about that much. And when I say working together, I mean cooperating and benefiting one another, not running one another down, but also working the elements of a service together. Karen, I fear that so many times our morning services are little parts, but there are no connections between the parts. And there's a way these things can dovetail. I'd like to talk about that for a while. For example, I think we have demonstrated on earlier broadcast how you can overlap the Scripture reading and music. But I think as well that there are numerous elements. You can have the Scripture read by a group while you're using visuals. Say you're reading about the great creative hand of God. Well, there's no reason why slides that have been taken by members of the congregation couldn't be shown at the same time. I think the whole use of body is another area that could be involved with the Scripture reading.
I have seen this beautifully demonstrated through signing, which is the communication with the deaf through hand language. And there is such beauty in that. And in many services where I've spoken as a guest speaker, they have had a woman or someone who has signed for the deaf who are in the audience. I think that's an incredible use of the body to amplify the meaning of Scripture that could easily be used in our congregation because so many people are taking up signing these days.
We've tried to give illustration of the kind of things that we're sharing, and sometimes those speak as loudly as what we explain. Let's go to another illustration. This is about a 2-minute tape that was done some years ago in the congregation where we pastored in the city. And this is a combination of Scripture reading on the part of the body, but also teaching by the person who is in charge of the situation. And as well as that, there is prayer, because the whole time it's being addressed to God in praise. So we have prayer and teaching and the reading of Scripture all going together. And it's an interesting combination of those elements. Let's listen to the tape.
Read with me each time the Scriptures listed in your bulletin after I give the reference. God, together our voices repeat Scripture in praise of you, because you are immutable. We read your words concerning yourself in Malachi 3:6. For I, the Lord, do not change. This means we can be confident that what we find in the Bible concerning your character, though written centuries ago, is still valid for us today. Psalm 119, verse 90.
Thy faithfulness endures to all generations.
How pleased we are to know that the consistency of your nature is bedrock upon which we can always depend. The writer of Hebrews states your oath is valid because of your unchanging nature. Chapter 6, verses 17 and 18.
So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he interposed with an oath, so that through two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible that God should prove false, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to seize the hope set before us.
Now that makes me want to praise. I think one of the elements we have added here is obviously the element of music, and that music kind of crowds the reading of the scripture, but that's purposeful because we live in an age where you are media and visually oriented, and we don't have the great lags in the visual media world that we do in our church services.
Everything just moves.
Everything moves, and that's only what we're doing here, is to make it sound a little more smooth, but more than that, we are gathering the response of the hearts of the congregation in a quick way, in an uplifting way, in a surprising way. They haven't anticipated this, and so it catches them into the whole mood of the thing.
And the way that's done is just working with the music director so he knows what the script is and anticipates when they come to the end, and then he's ready to come, and the choir is right in there. Another area where we can mix scripture in the normal flow of a morning service is in the sermon. Now, I don't know why it's not done more, but I think a man can say, I've been preaching to you from Titus 1:2, where we learn that God never lies. Now I want you to hear your own voice say the words. On the right side of your bulletin, I'll put some scriptures. Look at there, Romans 3:4. I want you to read it with me. Let's try it. Let God be true, though every man be false. Now let's do it again. You didn't do it as well as I wanted you to. And then to the next verse, Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. Has he said, and will he not do it? And then the scriptures are read one after another, right as a part of the sermon.
That's wonderful audience participation. You immediately have captured the congregation, and they have an ownership in the scripture as they read it on that level.
The church stands in need, Karen, of Christians who will consider a call to the ministry of the public reading of scripture. That's what we've been saying. We're going to talk about this same topic tomorrow, then on Thursday, about how to listen to scripture as it's read as a member of the congregation. Ted, what do you think we are around here, tree shakers or jelly makers?
Well, David, I'd have to say we do some of both.
Once again, David, you and Karen gave us some very powerful examples. It's clear to me how these ideas can help make worship services anything but dull.
Well, it's interesting to me, Dean, over the years, and we're talking over three decades now, the church has changed incredibly around the country. But at the same time, the public reading of Scripture hasn't changed that much. So with the change music-wise, with the change in terms of all the equipment, the visuals, the sound, everything is so improved. But Scripture is read the same way still all the time. And that's an overstatement, but maybe we should have gone 6 weeks instead of 3 weeks, or maybe we should have gone 3 months, I don't know. But there's still a problem here.
Well, hopefully those who've listened to this podcast will begin to get some of the ideas that were very relevant 30 years ago and equally relevant today. At least that's our hope and our prayer.
Yes, very much so.
We're so glad you joined us for our podcast today. You found this sermoncoach.com podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website, where we have resources to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and services. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.